Welcome to Talks from the Bible. We are reading Ephesians chapter 4, verses 13 through 16. Till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. The Apostle Paul writes these verses of Scripture to the church at Ephesus. His design for these verses of Scripture is that we come into the unity of the faith, we come unto the knowledge of the Son of God, we come unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. We are to be no more children, tossed to and fro by various doctrines of men, but rather we are to speak the truth in love, and we are to grow up into him in all things. Jesus Christ is the head of his church. He is the authority of the body of Christ, which is the church. The whole body, the church, is to be fitly joined together by every member of the body of Christ. Those who make up the body of Christ, baptized believers, are to grow in Christ. We are to come into the unity of the faith. We are to have a knowledge of the Son of God. We are to come unto the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that the body of Jesus Christ may increase. Each member is to edify one another. Each member is to grow and edify each other so that each other may grow in Christ. We are to grow in Jesus Christ. Christ is our example. We are to see Jesus as the one whom God has sent into the world, not only to be the Redeemer of humanity, but to also be the example which everyone is to follow and to imitate in their life. The church is to grow. Each individual member of the church is to grow. We are to come into the Lord Jesus Christ and his fullness. We must understand the example of Christ. Jesus has set an example for us to follow. He is the perfect standard. We understand from Scripture that Jesus lived without sin, that he lived in perfect obedience to the will of the Father. Therefore, he is worthy of being followed. He is the example that each of us should seek to imitate. He is the one whom we should desire to become like. We are to see Christ in his perfection. We are to see Christ in his obedience. We are to see Christ in the glory of God, and we are to follow him. 1 Peter 2, verse 21, "For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example, that ye should follow his steps." We have been called unto Jesus Christ by the gospel of Christ. We answer that call by obeying the gospel in faith, repentance, confession, and baptism. We become a part of the body of Jesus Christ. We become members of the church. We have been called to be followers of Christ. Jesus Christ has suffered for us. He has left us an example, and we should follow his steps. We are to see where Jesus walks. We are to see how Jesus walks. we are to behold the conduct of the life of the Son of God. In Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John are recorded the act of Jesus Christ. We see how he behaved in this world, how he lived in a sinful society, and we are to follow the example that he has set. We live in a society that is sinful, a society that is ungodly and immoral, but we are to live as Jesus lived. We are not to allow the influence of sin to dominate us, nor to set a standard by which we will live our life. We are to avoid sin because Jesus avoided sin. We are to step aside from iniquity because Jesus did not stand in the presence of evil. Jesus was able to overcome the temptations of Satan. So, if we follow his steps, we are to overcome the temptations of Satan. We are not to live as the world lives, but rather we are to live as Christ has lived. Philippians 2, verse 5, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." And then Paul describes the humiliation of Jesus as he was willing to come into this world, become obedient even unto death, the death of the cross. We are to live in obedience to God because Jesus has given us an example of obedience. We are to learn the Word of God so that we would know how we are to live, how we are to conduct our lives from day unto day. We are to have the mind of Christ in every circumstance of life. Whatever trial we must face, whatever temptation comes our way, initiated by the devil, we must stand in obedience to the will of God. John 13:15, "For I have given you an example, that ye should do as I have done unto you." Christ has washed the feet of his disciples. He has demonstrated an act of humility. He has humbled himself in washing their feet. Jesus shows us that we are to be humble. We are to be humble in our behavior toward others. We are to be humble in our acceptance of God. We are to realize our need of God and understand the power of God and allow that power to work in our life as we submit unto Him. Because Jesus has given us an example, and we are to do unto others as Jesus has done unto us. We are to treat people with respect and loyalty because Jesus has treated people with respect. He went about doing good, helping those who were in affliction, serving those who were in need. And so Jesus has left us an example that we should help others, that we should do good unto all men. We are not to do evil in this world toward others, but rather we are to do good toward others. We are to seek to help those who need our help, those who need any kind of help, so that we might glorify Christ and honor the example that he has set for us. 1 John 2:6, "He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also so to walk, even as he walked." If we claim to abide in Christ, if we profess to be a Christian, then we are to walk even as Christ walked. We are to behold his life. We are to understand the example that he has left for us. And we are to know that we can live by this example. We can obey the standard that God has set for us. We can follow the divine pattern that has been established through Jesus Christ. We can live as Christ has lived because God will give us, through his grace and mercy, the strength to follow Christ and walk in his steps. Matthew 11:29, Jesus issued this invitation, "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me." As we learn of Christ, we see the perfect example of Christ. We see the obedience of Christ. We see how he sought only to do the will of the Father and to glorify God in all of his life. As we grow in Christ, we are to follow the prayer example of Christ. Jesus was an individual who prayed. Even though he was the Son of God, he communicated with his Father. Prayer is the opportunity to communicate with God. Prayer is the privilege that allows us to come into the presence of God, to appear before his throne of grace and mercy, and tell him, convey unto him our thoughts and our feelings and our needs. Mark 1, verse 35, "And in the morning, rising up a great while before day, he went out and departed into a solitary place, and there prayed." There were times when Jesus sought to be alone. During the day, he was usually followed by the multitudes. The crowds usually surrounded him. People came unto him with their needs and with their desires. But there were also those times when Jesus sought to be in a solitary place where he was alone, only with his God and Father. Early in the morning, even before day, he went out and prayed. Prayer must be a part of our life. We must solicit the mercy of God. We must beg for the grace of God. We must come before the throne of God and tell him how we feel, what we need. We must convey unto him our problems and our troubles and our feelings. God allows us to pray unto him and tell him the wants and the desires and the needs of our life, because Jesus set an example of prayer in his life. Mark 6, verse 46, "And when he had sent them away, he departed into a mountain to pray." Jesus has sent the disciples and the multitudes away from him, and now he desires that solitary place where he can pray unto his Father. Jesus wanted that place where only he and his Father were. Jesus sought to be near to the heart of God through prayer. God allows us to come into his throne room. As mere creatures of the dust, created in the very image of God and redeemed by the blood of Christ, having had bestowed upon us the grace of Almighty God, he desires that we call upon him as Father, that we seek him in prayer. Luke 11, verse 1, "And it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples." These disciples had witnessed the prayer life of Christ. They had seen how he talked with his heavenly Father, and they desired for him to teach them how to pray. When we study the scriptures, we can learn how we are to pray according to the will of God. What a wonderful privilege it is to call upon God as Father and tell him the needs of our life. We can convey unto him the despair that we feel, the emptiness and loneliness that sometimes comes upon us, the discomfort that all of us feel, the problems that come our way, as they do for all of us. Jesus had his times of problems and discomforts. The multitude would speak against him. They sought to stone him and to kill him. He was asked to leave certain places where he sought to go, and his only desire was to help them and bless them, and yet they wanted him to leave. Jesus knew those times of rejection, and he would speak to his heavenly Father about those times. He prayed, and his disciples wanted him to teach them to pray. We must desire that Jesus teach us to pray. If we look at the prayer life of Jesus and follow his example of prayer, we will learn to pray. Luke 9:18, "And it came to pass, as he was alone praying, His disciples were with him, and he asked them, saying, "Whom say the people that I am?" We find that Jesus would go and be alone so that he could pray. He did not pray where the multitudes were gathered, where the crowds had come, but rather he would go into the solitary place. He would go out early and be alone with his Father. There were times in his life when Jesus took time out of his busy schedule simply to pray. We need to take the time out of our hurried life to pray unto God. Matthew 26:36. Perhaps the greatest example of Jesus praying was in the Garden of Gethsemane. He went there at night. The shadow of the cross fell across that garden. In a few hours, Jesus would be condemned by the multitude, and he would be crucified upon the cross. He goes to the garden and to a place called Gethsemane, and saith unto his disciples, "Sit ye here while I go yonder and pray." Jesus came to the garden to pray. He took with him his disciples, but at a point he left them and went into the further part of the garden and there prayed to his heavenly Father. We must follow the worship example of Christ. Christ worshiped the Father. He adored the Father. He glorified the Father. We must glorify God in worship. We must take the time in our life to spend in worship and glorification to God. We must give honor unto God because of who God is, because of the majesty and the power that God has. Luke 4 and verse 16. And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. Notice that going into the synagogue was the custom of Christ. He did not occasionally go to worship. He did not conveniently go to worship. He did not, when the need came upon him, to go to worship, but rather as his custom was. Jesus had made worship a practice of his life. We must make worship of God a practice, a habit in our life. We must do it consistently without fail, because God desires to be glorified and worshiped by us. Mark 1:21, and they went into Capernaum, and straightway on the Sabbath day he entered into the synagogue and taught. Straightway on the Sabbath. The Sabbath was his day of worship. The Sabbath was the time that he would honor and glorify the Father. Of course, he honored and glorified the Father every day in the manner of life that he lived. But on the Sabbath, he took time to worship. We must gather together in assembly to worship God in song, in prayer, in praise to the Heavenly Father, because of the great majesty of God and glory of God. In Matthew chapter 4, Jesus is being tempted by the devil. In verse 10, concerning one of those temptations, Jesus said, "Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve." The only one or thing that is worthy of true worship is God. People worship many things. Some worship their possession. Some worship pleasure. Various idols are erected in the lives of people where they worship. But only God is to be worshiped. Jesus said that only God can be worshiped. He is the one who is to be served and glorified in our life. We are not to serve mammon. We are not to serve pleasure. We are not to serve earthly desire. We are not to serve the profession of life that we have chosen whereby we make a living and earn money, but rather we are to worship God. And there is a day designed in the pages of the New Testament where the church is to come into the assembly and worship. Upon the first day of the week, the disciples came together to break bread, Acts 20 and verse 7. John 4, 22 through 24, Jesus has come into Samaria. He pauses at Jacob's well for a drink of water. A woman comes to that well to draw water. And Jesus and this woman talk about her personal life, but they also speak about worship. Worship is a teaching of the New Testament. God's people are to worship Him. They are to assemble together to worship. They are to come together in prayer, in song, in giving, in preaching, in the partaking of the Lord's Supper, and worship and praise God. In John 4, 22 through 24, Jesus says to this woman, "Ye worship, ye know not what." We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. Salvation had come through the Jewish line. The Jews had rejected that line. They rejected the Christ. They crucified the Christ. But Jesus said, "The hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship Him. God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth." God must be worshipped, and the manner of worship is in spirit and truth. We must worship with a true devotion to God. We must seek to serve God and thereby worship Him. But we are to worship Him in truth. There is a divine pattern that God has set whereby we worship and glorify Him. We are to follow the example of Christ. We are to follow the scriptural example of Christ. In Matthew 4, 4, 7, and 10, where Jesus speaks to Satan, He said, "It is written again." Jesus overcame the temptations of Satan by referring to the Scripture. Jesus knew what the Scripture said. We must learn the Scriptures. We must read the Scriptures. God has given us a pattern of life in the Scripture. God has revealed His nature and His person in the Scripture. God has given us a design of life in the Scripture. God has revealed His will in the Scripture. We are to know what God has written. We are not to think or to hope that God is pleased with how we live, what we do, and what we offer unto God. But we must know that it is written. Jesus knew what the Scripture said concerning these temptations that Satan offered unto Him, and thereby He was able to overcome and be victorious. Matthew 22, 29, Jesus answered and said unto them, "Ye do err, not knowing the Scriptures, nor the power of God." We can be in error if we do not know the Scriptures. We can live according to our own design rather than according to the Scripture. Jesus said, "You're in error because you do not know the Scriptures." We must know the Scriptures. John 5 and verse 39, Jesus said, "Search the Scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me." We are not to think and hope that we have eternal life, but we are to know that we have eternal life. Jesus said, if you want to know that you have eternal life, you must search the Scriptures. The Bible is not simply a book that is to be read for devotional purposes, but rather the Bible is a book that must be searched. If we were going to find a treasure, we would search for that treasure. There is a treasure that is buried in the Scriptures. We must search for that treasure. We must read and study and learn and pray so that we have an understanding of Scripture. Jesus was an individual who knew Scripture. We must follow His example. Luke 24:27, beginning at Moses and all the prophets, He expounded unto them in all the Scriptures the things concerning Himself. Jesus knew what Moses had written concerning Him. Jesus knew what the prophets had written concerning Him. Jesus was learned in the Scriptures. And if we would follow the example of Christ, we would be learned in the Scriptures. We must follow the obedience example of Christ. Jesus has left us an example of obedience. God is to be obeyed. His word and His will is to be heeded by each one of us. Romans 5:19, for as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one many shall be made righteous. We were made sinners by the disobedience of Adam. We are made righteous by the obedience of Jesus Christ. Because of Jesus' obedience to the will of God, we can be made righteous. We become righteous because Jesus was obedient to the will of the Father. You remember in the garden He prayed, "Not my will, but thine be done." Even in the approach of death, Jesus was obedient to the will of the Father. Hebrews 5:8, though He were a son, yet learned He obedience by the things which He suffered. Jesus in His life had learned obedience. He was the suffering Christ. He was rejected by the multitude, hounded by malicious hearts, crucified by a bitter hatred. Jesus had learned obedience in the things that He had suffered. The life of Christ was a life of suffering. We sometimes moan and complain and weep and howl because of the suffering that comes into our life, never realizing, never understanding that Jesus suffered. And through His suffering, we have the privilege to become as God. We have the privilege to know God as Father. We have the privilege of one day living and abiding in heaven and enjoying the blessing of eternal life because of the obedience of Jesus Christ. Philippians 2:8, and being found in fashion as a man, He humbled Himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Jesus was obedient unto God even in death. Remember in the garden, "Not my will, but thine be done." As Jesus hung on the cross and the life drained from His body, in that agonizing death, He was obedient unto the Father. Even suffering the death of the cross, Jesus shows us the example of obedience. In our low point of life, we must be obedient unto God. In the assault of Satan upon our soul, we must be obedient to the will of God. When happiness and joy and prosperity come our way, we must be obedient to the will of God because Jesus, in every aspect of His life, was obedient. John 6:38, "For I am come down from heaven, not to do mine own will, but the will of Him that sent me." We are here upon the earth, not to do our will, but to do the will of God. If we would be pleasing unto God, we must do His will. If we would live eternally with Him in heaven, we must be obedient to His will. Jesus Christ has come into the world and left for us the perfect example. We are to come into the fullness of the Son of God. We are to become as a perfect man in the example that Jesus has left. Let us seek to become as Jesus in every aspect of our life. Talks from the Bible are brought to you by the Church of Christ at South Commerce Street in Somerville, Georgia.